A reading from Acts. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to the chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, or his life is taken away from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "And who, may I ask, does the prophet say this about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and started with this scripture. He proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. When they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Right, so I'm aware that this microphone is acting up a little bit, so if it goes away, or if you can't hear me, let me know, okay? Power and Stephen does amazing things and then meets a rather unfortunate demise. But stay tuned for that, or go back and look if you want to hear more about that. And so then the other one we get to know is Philip. Again, right, set aside for one purpose. And then all of a sudden, as so often is the case when you do one thing for God, more things are asked of you. So an angel appears to Philip and says, go down onto this road from Jerusalem to Gaza, with no really more helpful instructions, just to go randomly to this road, which in the daytime, and the text says to us, this is a wilderness road. So there's nothing there. But Philip is obedient and goes down this wilderness road, which would have been first just hot and dry and lonely and desolate, and two would have been somewhat dangerous for him because there isn't anything and you don't know what you're going to meet. So Philip is a good and willing servant who is open to what God has asked him to do. And it just so happens that he actually meets somebody on this wilderness road. And that man is the Ethiopian eunuch. for those of you who don't know, a eunuch is someone who has been castrated as a boy. And this happened in that time in order to, often was the case that a young male was castrated so that as an adult he would not pose a risk, perhaps of usurping his older siblings, especially within a royal family. Younger males were castrated because a eunuch could never be crowned king. So as they grew up, there was no risk then of them trying to take over a position that was above them. So we have the Ethiopian eunuch who has suffered a violent act by probably the imperial court, because he can be trusted, because he's a eunuch, has this position of power, and he runs and takes care of the treasury for Queen Candace, who is the queen of the Ethiopians. So he is very, very wealthy. But with all of that, you know, holding a position of power, being very, very wealthy, he leaves Ethiopia in search. We can only think that he is deeply searching for something and somewhere and perhaps some kind of faith, something to be a part of as a eunuch. And so he travels to Jerusalem to worship and to learn. And this encounter takes place as he travels back toward home. And so he's traveling in a chariot, which displays his wealth. He would have had a driver because he's driving along, reading the scroll of Isaiah, which also is terribly expensive to purchase. So he's driving along, obviously a man of some means and wealth. And Philip, who has been sent on this journey to this wilderness road, seems to run up alongside the chariot, because it isn't until after their first conversation that it says that the Ethiopian man invites him into the chariot. So I guess this kind of takes place with Philip running alongside, which is kind of absurd, but all the same, this is how things happen in God's world. So he's
reading Isaiah out loud on his journey, and Philip asks him a rather audacious question. Do you understand what you're reading? Right? And to ask a man of means and wealth such a question was easily very out of line. Right? And the man further said, "Who are you to ask me that? Get away from me," or think that he was, you know, gonna hurt him or something. And yet, his response, again, shows how much this man is looking for something and says, "How can I understand it unless someone helps me?" Which I think is often true of a lot of scripture for a lot of us. And so Philip then helps him to understand. And that's when the Ethiopian man invites him to come and sit with him. And so now they are journeying together and learning, and this Ethiopian man is changed, I think, by it. So they're driving along this wilderness road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And I have to say, one of the things that I noticed when I visited the Holy Land, and perhaps you've noticed it if our former student, Leanne, is currently in the Holy Land, and she has been posting some pictures on Facebook. And it struck me this week when I looked at them that I remember thinking the same thing when I was there, that everything in the Holy Land is basically a variation on the color of sand. There really is not a whole lot of a spectrum there, right? The bricks of the churches that are made up are the color of sand, and the roads are very close to the color of sand, and the vast expanses of everything. I mean, there are some trees, but they all seem to have a layer of dust on them. And so wilderness looks very different in that part of the world than it does for us. We drive along country roads and we're used to seeing a lot of forests and a lot of ponds and marshlands and trees and green. And in the Holy Land, you see a lot of sand and rocks and mountains of sandy rocks and some brush. And there are some trees, but certainly not the same kind of trees that we're accustomed to seeing. And so you don't come across a lot of bodies of water as you drive. And these men are driving along the road, and it just so happens that there is water. And the Ethiopian eunuch man says, "Look, water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He doesn't say, "I think that maybe I'm interested in being baptized," or "How does this baptism thing work?" or "Why would I even need to do it?" He says, "What would prevent me from being baptized?" And the answer is nothing. Not even the fact that you're in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the wilderness. Not even that, because water appears. Not the fact that you are probably one of the most outsider characters in all of the Bible. He's from what was understood back then basically as the end of the earth, about as far away as you could ever manage to get. He was from Ethiopia. He would have had a different skin color. He would have had a different accent. He was a eunuch. And that meant something. He had all these things going against him. And then he's in the middle of the wilderness, in the desert, and not even that can prevent him from being baptized. None of these things can prevent him from becoming a part of God's family and a part of God's church. This man who has come such a long way searching for something has found it. Or rather, God has found him on this road. So for us, I think that there are two things for us in this story. One is that there is nothing to prevent us or anyone else from being a part of God's church and a part of God's family. There is no shame too big. There is no baggage you carry that is too heavy. There is no title that you claim, whether that's your race or your sexuality or your history or your anything. There is nothing that is too big or too heavy that can prevent you or anyone else from becoming a part of God's church and from being a part of God's family. And I don't know who you are or whatever, I think that's some pretty great news for us. There just isn't anything that can possibly get in the way between us and God, and between anybody else and God. So that, I think, is the first thing for us to take away from this story, which is very good news. But then the second thing I think that we need to take away from this story is that because of that good news, it's up to us who are the church, who live out being the body of Christ here in this place and out in the world. It is our job then to not get in the way of all of that great expanse of nothing to prevent. We have the power and the ability to be the instruments of God's great and grand grace. We have the ability to share it and go and tell it and to invite people into it. And it's up to us to make sure that for everyone, when that question is asked, what is to prevent me, that we are the ones who say nothing. Nothing is to prevent you from being a part of God's family, from being a part of the church, from being a part of everything that God is doing in the world. That Ethiopian eunuch who needed to find something and a place. He was rich and he had power and he had suffered a great violence. And he carried all of that and he searched. And in the end, he said, what is to prevent me? Perhaps he asked that question because he was used to there being an answer. But there was always a reason he wasn't quite enough. What is to prevent me? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. So what is to prevent us? Nothing. Nothing. And so we go out into the world with that good news on our lips and in our hearts so that we can be the people who share that news with others. What is to prevent each and every person we encounter from becoming a part of God's family. Nothing.